Welcome to Nachyomi of the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Schupp, and today we will continue our study of the Book of Job, examining chapter 25. In the previous two chapters, Eov argued against Eliphaz's contention that there is no suffering that was not caused by sin. He is echoing Rabbi Ami's assertion in Masechet Shabbat, Ein mita belo chet, ve'en yesurin belo avon. There is no death without sin, and no suffering without iniquity. Eov reiterated ever more forcefully that while that might be the rule, there are clearly exceptional cases in which anguish and death are not direct consequences of wrongdoing, as indicated by other Tanaim in the Talmud. The martyrdom of Gdolei Yisrael and of innocent children cannot be attributed to their sin. Moreover, there are numerous examples throughout human history, and never more so than in contemporary times, of glaring immorality and brutality that go unpunished, allowing the perpetrators to live long and serene lives. In this short chapter, Bildad attempts one more to counter Eov's complaint against so many examples of unjustifiable injustice. Malbim explains that in the previous rounds, Bildad contended that the righteous suffer in this world to cleanse them of flaws and foibles that they inevitably committed, thereby sparing them any punishment in the Olam Haba. After all, Ein Tzadik Ba'aretz Asher Yaseh Tov Velo Yechta. Kohelet stressed that all human beings are fallible, and there is no righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Conversely, the success and serenity experienced by the wicked in this world may be recompense for any merits they may have earned or inherited, and that success and serenity masks the fact that after death, their souls are utterly eradicated. Now, Bildad concedes that there may be occasional cases which seem like distortions of justice, when an individual may suffer for the general good. For example, when the world needs rain, God must ignore the good man traveling by foot who might be inconvenienced and get soaked. Similarly, sunlight, vital to the growth of plants and the well-being of humans and beasts, benefits evildoers alongside the righteous. Hashem does not usually disrupt the natural order and violate the laws of physics to accommodate or punish any one individual. Nonetheless, Bildad insists, God is fully aware of each person's actions and intentions and provides appropriate recompense sooner or later. The ostensible aberrations are eventually rebalanced and justice is restored, either in this world or in the next world. In this chapter, consisting of six verses, Bildad underscores that no human being can stand up against God, for Hamshel vafachad imo, ose shalom bimromav. Dominion and fear are with him. He makes peace in his high places. Rashi points out that this opening verse is a direct response to Eov's quest in chapter 23, where he said, E'achal lefanav mishpat ufi amale tochachot. I would set out my case before him, filling my mouth with reproof and arguments. Bildad is warning Eov that he does not stand a chance in the divine court, where Hamshel is the archangel Michael, and Pachad is the archangel Gabriel, who stand with God. Bildad treats dominion and fear as separate entities that serve the one and only Creator, who alone can mediate between opposing and incompatible forces, and brings ultimate peace from his transcendent spheres into the physical world, which is roiled by conflicting and irreconcilable forces. Amos Chacham compares this verse to the one in Tehillim in the 89th chapter. Tzedek u'mishpat mechon kis echa, chesed ve'emet yikadmu panecha. Righteousness and law are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. Mishpat is judgment based on the letter of the law, while tzedek is justice moderated by mercy, and are logically distinct. Chesed is unconditional kindness, incompatible with uncompromising truth. But only Hashem can reconcile such opposing and incompatible concepts. Malbim explains that God created conflicting forces that run our world according to the immutable laws of physics and biology. But Hashem oversees those systems and moderates and harmonizes between them. Life and death, development and decomposition, fire and water, the good and the evil, all emanate from the one Creator, as stressed by the prophet Yeshayahu in the 45th chapter. Yotzer o uvore choshech, ose shalom uvore ra, ani Hashem, ose kol eile. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I am Hashem that does all of these things. Hashem, and only He, can make peace between seemingly irreconcilable powers and incompatible phenomena. Thus, Bildad continues, asking rhetorically, Hayesh mispar ligdudav? Ve'al mi lo yakum orehu? Is there a number to his troops? And upon whom does his light not rise? God's watchful protection and his infinite light and energy empowers all of the tangible and intangible forces on earth and in each living creature, large and small. And consequently, Uma yitzdak enosh im el, Uma yizke yelud isha. How can a mortal be innocent before God? Can anyone born of a woman be pure? Bildad admonishes Iyov, how can fallible and mortal man dare to imagine that he can stand in judgment against the eternal and infinite God? He then continues, Hen ad yareach velo yail, vekochavim lo zaku peinav. There is substantial variation among the various commentaries on this verse. One version overlooks some of the words and prepositions in the verse and interprets this as a statement. Behold, even the moon has no brightness, and the stars are not pure in his light. Mitzudot, on the other hand, interprets the first clause as a rhetorical question. Can you, like God, punish the moon by removing its own light, allowing it only to reflect some of the sun's illumination? Mitzudot proceeds to interpret the second clause as related to verse 3 in this chapter. The stars, glowing and twinkling in the night, cannot compare to the light Hashem bestows on the universe. Accordingly, Bildad continues the imagery begun in verse 3, Ve'al mi lo yakum orehu, and asserts that the light cast by the sun, the moon, and the stars is merely drawn from the infinite energy that Hashem perpetually bestows upon the universe. This explains why the luminaries are called Me'orot and not Orot. The light that they give forth is not their own. It is the light that comes from Hashem. Rashi also refers to this midrash to which Mitzudot alludes. This Agada cited in Masechet Chulin ponders two conflicting verses in Bereshit. The first relates that Hashem created the two large luminaries of equal size, Shnei HaMe'orot HaGdolim, the sun and the moon, to bring light simultaneously. But later, it indicates that one was large and one was small. HaMa'or HaGadol VeHaMa'or HaKatan. The Medrash reconciles these verses by relating that the moon was diminished in size and lost its own light for displaying jealous rivalry against the sun. Complaining to God that two monarchs cannot share one crown. The moon was thus deprived of its own light, relegated to reflect the sun's glow in the night. Accordingly, the word Ad is translated as cut down in our Pasuk. Amos Chacham notes the similarity to the eighth psalm that describes how a human being feels so small and insignificant in comparison to the power and majesty apparent in the nightly sky. Ki yir'eh shamecha ma'aseh etzbeotecha yareach v'kochavim asher konanta. Ah, ma'enosh ki tizkerenu uven adam ki tifkedenu. When I behold your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have established. Oh, what is mortal man that you are mindful of him, and the human being that you would think of him? In contrast, Malbim interprets this verse as follows. Can a person rail against his fate, which is predetermined by the constellations and the phase of the moon at the moment of birth? Apparently, Bildad refers to fatalistic mythology, which argues that a person's mazel is fixed by forces over which he has no control. This would explain pain or prosperity, which an individual has not earned. In modern terms, we would argue that a person is bound to factors that he has not chosen and which he cannot alter. Can you change your genetic code or the familial structure and social conditions into which you were born? In a sense, Bildad is pointing out the undeniable reality that much of what happens to us is beyond our control and has nothing to do with the exercise of moral freedom. We did not earn our peace and prosperity. We did not choose our inborn talents, nor our inherited predisposition to disease. Moreover, it is the height of arrogance to imagine that God would or should change reality for the benefit or pleasure of one human being, especially when even the most virtuous person is but a frail and fleeting creature, as Bildad stresses in the closing verse. Af ki enosh rima, uven adam tolea. But alas, mortal man is corruption, and the human being is but a worm. Why should God justify his actions when man is, in the final analysis, reduced to decomposing rot consumed by worms? Thank you for learning with me.
Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmat Rose Foreman, Rezel Rochel Bat Arye Leib, and for Rachel Zeitlin, Rochel Bat Shlomo, Alehen HaShalom.